hear from God and then you come back and tell us, you know, the logic there doesn't make any sense because, you know, Moses was just a man like they were. He just happened to have a really great relationship with God. And so they looked at themselves and said, we don't have that type of relationship with God. You go, you lay your life down on the line. You come back as our intermediary and you tell us what God said. And then we'll get mad at you if we don't like what you said, because that's what the carnal nature does. And here Jesus tells them, look, you and I, we're supposed to be active participants. Faith is not just a possession that we have. Faith is an action word. And so that's kind of what we were talking about yesterday. Today, I want to tell you that this particular passage of Scripture is not just philosophical, it's personal. It's personal. Look at the number of times that you find the word you. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. It dropped down to verse number 11. If you then, knowing being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. This is not something where he's talking about just a select group of individuals. This is something that applies to everyone. And so when you are asking and continuing to ask, you need to have the expectation that it will be given to you. When you are seeking and continuing to seek, you need to expect that God is going to enable you to find. And when you knock, it will be opened to you. There are doors of opportunity that are going to come your way. And so when we step out in obedience to what God has told us to do, we need to expect that he is not only going to answer the prayers of others, he is going to answer our prayers as well. And I pray that is something that you discover and you continue and persevere in putting these three principles, asking, seeking, and knocking, that you continue to acknowledge your dependency upon God, his priority in your life, and that you are dependent upon the access that he has provided to you and I, to the throne of grace, that he opens doors of opportunity. And so that we have access to all of the resources we need to be obedient. And so once you see that, you know, in the book of James, I'm going to turn over there just real quick here. In James, it says in verse number 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. The carnal nature is often, many times, enamored with celebrity status. And I want you to know, I don't believe that there is supposed to be a classification of saint in the kingdom of God known as celebrity status. I believe that God is looking for ordinary people who are available for him to do extraordinary things through. The people that know their God shall do great exploits. And so your voice, there's no substitute for it. When you ask, God recognizes your voice. And if anything is indicated in this passage of Scripture that we haven't talked about yet, it is that we have a relationship with God, that he is our Heavenly Father. We are his children. And so we not only have this spiritual dynamic, but there's also a family dynamic that takes place there. And so in verse number 8, it says, "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." So this is the Christmas season. We're getting closer and closer by the day. Christmas will be 2 weeks from Sunday, and that's hard to imagine. I'll just throw this out there right now. We are, because Christmas is on a Sunday this year, we are going to be having our Christmas communion service on Christmas Sunday. We normally do that on Christmas Eve. I remember the last time that Christmas fell on a Sunday, and we tried to squeeze two distinct services in there. We want to make sure that Christ is honored, that we have communion with him, and that we get to celebrate that glorious event. So Christmas is a significant event where it reminds us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is a giver. The people of God are givers. And we need to be extremely thankful for the fact that God is that. Now, the devil, on the other hand, he's not a giver. He is a taker. He is a thief. And so there's a serious dichotomy that is manifest during the Christmas season. The world thinks that this is a time to get inebriated and do all sorts of stupid stuff and go into debt where you can't afford it and you're left in a serious bind. I don't believe that's the intent that God has. I believe that he wants us to understand that he is the one who gives us everything that we need. And so we need to expect that for all of the activities that we are doing in obedience to God, that we can expect for him to give us the results that he wants for to be the result of our actions of obedience. Okay? So he says, ask, so we ask. And then he gives and we receive. Everyone. And so what happens around Christmas, whenever we get to celebrate that, now we've got, our children are scattered in churches across the state. And so the holidays are, and a number of them are on staff at the church in some form or capacity. And that's a difficult time for people to get away. So getting together and opening gifts and things like that, that's something that we have to schedule, and it may not happen on Christmas Day. I don't really, in fact, I always said, if we wait until after Christmas, when things get really seriously marked down on sale, we might be able to get the same gift and save a whole lot of money. We have this thing where we go around and everybody rotates in receiving a gift. So it takes a long time. Now, other families do it different, and where this person opens up all their gifts and another person opens up all their gifts. And then for me at that point in time, I'm almost always the last one to open up my gifts. But you know what? The gift that is the most impactful is knowing that I was loved enough that somebody put some effort and time into getting me a gift that they knew would be meaningful. And, I'm sure if you look back through the years, you can see some gifts that were given and they were just over the top. I remember receiving a pinball machine. Now, some of you might not even remember what pinball machines were, but we actually got a pinball machine one Christmas, and we're not talking the little bitty kid version. We're talking full-fledged, you know, type of pinball machine that you would have found in a bowling alley back in the day. It was great. More recently, in the last 15 years, my family got together, conspired against me, and fulfilled my lifelong sports fantasy. Bought tickets to see the Green Bay Packers, who had a pretty lousy first part of the year here, and probably going no place in the playoffs. Don't even worry about that. So they got me airplane tickets, hotel room, rental car, game day gear. I mean, go up there in the wintertime. And that was, I mean, I'm not one that cries at getting gifts, but that day I was literally caught off guard, which is kind of the goal that we have in our household, is to go above and beyond. Like when my daughter got married, my middle daughter, she got me this commemorative handkerchief, and it had all sorts of sappy stuff written in it about daughters and their dads and wedding days and all of that sort of stuff, and they were recording that as I burst into tears reading all of that stuff. Don't think that you're an exclusion. With God, everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks will have the door opened for them. But again, this is in accordance with the will of God. It is an asking, a seeking, a knocking that is in line with our needs to walk in obedience to fulfill the plan and the purpose of God. So, let's look at verse number 9. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? So Jesus starts off here by describing to people that the community in which they lived, fathers and sons, it was not considered natural, it was not considered wholesome or healthy for there to be a request for, in this case, food. I mean, there weren't grocery stores around. There may have been some markets, but, you know, so he's asking for bread, and he's asking for a fish, and he says, there's not one person here that if your son asked you for bread, you would give him a stone. Isn't that kind of interesting that was the temptation that Satan had for Jesus? He said, you're hungry, you've been fasting, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus' response was, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so this was a picture of a child that was looking to their parent, who was in the role of provider for the food for the family. And they said, you wouldn't even stoop to give your child a stone in place of a piece of bread. You wouldn't stoop to the point where you would give them a snake instead of giving them a piece of fish. You would do whatever you could to provide for your family, because they're your children. You want to make sure that they are fed. So I've known that God had called me to be a pastor since before I was 9 years old. I can't tell you exactly what age. I thought it was nine. Nine is the age that I remember. Nine or ten was the age that I remember making a public declaration of you know, the fact that God had called me to be a pastor. And then, you know, several years ago, the lady that was the children's church teacher said, "Oh no, you were talking about it, you know, long before that. You, because I was your first children's church director, and you were talking about it in children's church back then." And so I always had that goal. Well, I was telling this story to the church here not too long ago. The first church that I worked for, I got fired. They didn't want me, the pastor that I worked for. There was some breakdown in communication there, but in all actuality, they didn't want my wife and I to get married. We did. And, you know, it's been a few decades now. I think it's going to work out. And then the second church that we were going to go and work at, we found out that we were expecting, and the church told us, "Well, look, we were interested in hiring a couple. We're not interested in hiring a family." And so they renounced our hiring because we were going to have a baby. That's getting off to a rough start. And so I was selling shoes. My wife was selling clothing. And that's what we were doing because, amazingly enough, we needed to eat on a regular basis. And then when my wife was expecting our first child, we ended up moving from one state to another state, took a pay cut to go down there and minister out in a very, very rural community. And yet we still needed food. We still needed you know, to pay our bills. And so I did whatever I needed to do to make sure that my son had food. We ate a lot of beans, a lot of spaghetti. We ate a lot of leg quarters. In all honesty, to this day, we ate so many leg quarters because that was the cheapest protein that you could buy at the market back in those days. We ate so much of that is my least favorite part of the chicken to this day. I struggle a little bit with that. But so we moved down there, and I was teaching in a private Christian school, and we only got paid when school was in session. So during the summertime, I went and I got a job, and I sold items at a flea market, and I did whatever I could to make sure that my child was able to eat. And the expectation was that when school started up, I was going to be able to go back in there, and we were going to be more ministry focused and all of that. And the pastor, who is a dear friend of mine to this day, came to me and said, "Look, you showed initiative, you showed drive, you've done everything exactly the way that I wanted you to, and you have proven that you are going to take care of your family. And I've got to make some staff changes, and you're the only one that has shown the drive to take care of your family. All of these other people are looking to me. They are completely dependent upon me. I've got to take care of them, so we're not going to bring you back into the school." And it's like, well, that's messed up. and we've had that conversation. And I told them, I said, "Well, look, I'm called to be in the ministry. And we thought that this was the place. But if that doesn't take place, we're going to have to see what else God opens up." And so I ended up getting a job, and my wife started knocking, and she started asking, and she started seeking, because the jobs that I had, it was, like I said, it was a very rural environment. I I was driving 81 miles each way to work and not making a lot of money. And that's hard on cars, hard on tires, hard on bodies, hard on finances. And what happened was, as she began to ask and seek and knock, God began to orchestrate things behind the scenes. She said, look, God, this, all of these demands on Bob's time is not making for a healthy marriage or a healthy household. He needs to be closer. And God began to work behind the scenes. And it was because of that, I got promoted. During that season, when I found out I wasn't going to be teaching again, I got promoted. I was made manager of my own store, and then they transferred me to Florida. And I can tell you that a lot of that happened because my wife was asking, my wife was seeking, and my wife was knocking. And she believed this, that everyone who asks receives. We still didn't get the exactly what we felt called to at that point in time. But what we did was we got significantly closer to the steps. A lot of times there's timing. There is timing issues. I remember as a child growing up that there were two times that we thoroughly enjoyed when my mother was making a cake. If my mother was going to make a cake, we always wanted to be there to be the guy that had the cake batter beater. Try and say that three times fast. The cake batter beater, what she had used to mix everything up. We wanted to be there for that because we wanted to lick the beater. And then the second time is we wanted to be there when it was fresh out of the oven. And I will tell you, if you're asking, even beyond what you can see, you can rest assured that God is going to bring something about. And it's not going to be a bad thing. It's not going to be an insufficient thing. It's going to be a God thing. Just like he said, you know how to give appropriate gifts to your children. How much more does your Heavenly Father know how to do that? Okay. Please understand that if you're asking, seeking, and knocking, and you haven't received it yet, don't give up. Don't give up. God's timing is perfect. God's provision is perfect. And he's going to take good care of you. I can honestly tell you that a lot of times, things that happened with my dad, I didn't understand. But the more that I've conversed with him as an adult, there were things I never knew about him. For instance, in the last 5 to 10 years, I found out he was great in mathematics. He taught mathematics to pipe fitters, trigonometry. I never knew that. I just thought he liked to argue with my math teacher. But anyway, I found out a whole lot of things just because I sat down and had a conversation with him. And I want to encourage you, when you are there, you're not there, you know, pounding away and demanding. You're saying, God, I am dependent upon you. You and the call that you have on my life is a priority, and I'm so thankful that I have access to everything that I need to accomplish your plan and purpose in my life. We're going to have a great weekend. Hopefully you can come out and join us. 165 North Grove Street, 10:30 Sunday morning. We're right in the middle of Merritt Island. Hope that you will come out and join us this weekend. See you Monday right here on.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Sunset, I sweep the snow from my doorstep. I just can't help but stop and grin. It's like I'm 10 years old again. And everywhere I go, I can feel it. Some say it moves like a spirit that falls on us once a year, like it came on a midnight clear. The soul of this season is a gift. When love came down to let's live, let's open up and let our hearts embrace this moment. For before the sunrise, I sneak downstairs to sparkling eyes, and oh, what joy it brings to me, the family around our Christmas tree. And I thank the Lord for his favor as we sing the songs of the Savior, our Savior. The soul of this season is a gift. When love came down to let's live, let's open up and let our hearts embrace this moment.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Are you hungry for something more than this world has to offer? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
There comes a time sometimes when the things of this world are not enough. There comes a time sometime when we're fed up with the things of this world. We're sick and tired and worn and weary, and we need more than bread and fish. The thing that you hunger for is a right relationship with God through Christ. Jesus Christ is God's answer for your deepest hunger.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding.